Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hey guys, this is Chris Roby, and over across the screen from me is Carly Duke.
Hi, Chris.
Hey,
I'm
how are you?
Excited to be here today. I'm great.
Yeah. We are moving a little bit away from our mental health series to talk about something that is a big deal in schools, and that's cheating. And it's not a new thing, but it is ever more rampant than ever. And also, there's just new clever ways to cheat. And we want to talk about that because it's a big deal and something we want to keep our kids out of if we can.
Definitely. I think, like you said, cheating is not new, but there are new ways to do it. And so this one is especially for our school staff people listening, but also parents, if you're not aware. I'll post some links later, but this is something you need to be talking to your teenagers about. But cheating is a problem. And I especially want to, I know it's the end of the school year, so you might be like, why are y'all talking about this now? But I think around finals is especially a very tempting time to cheat because those grades really matter.
Yeah, papers and research and all those kinds of things. This is where it really gets easy to cheat.
Right. And all just to like kick off a personal story of a cheating incident, Chris, is when I was in high school, it was a final. It was summer actually at this point. And I got a phone call from one of my teachers in the summer. And she was like, I need you to come up to school and meet with me as soon as you can. And I was like, what in the world just happened? And then I hung up and I got a phone call from a friend, like in that time, which I'm sure there are different ways to do it now, but like we had a final paper that was due and you saved it like on the school computer, like hard drive that everyone could get to. And he had asked if like what the, we had to do an outline and a paper. And he was asking about my outline. And I was like, if you want to go look at my outline, you can see just kind of like the format that I used. Well, then he saw my paper and he took my paper and plagiarized it.
Oh.
And I had no idea. He didn't tell me he did that until, but then he called me and said, hey, here's what's happening. Here's why she wants to talk to you. I've told her you had no idea and it's going to be fine. But like he was in a lot of trouble. I had to go talk to his teacher. Part of the funny part, which this is, I mean, it is what it is. She goes, basically, he took your paper and made it worse. So she was like, he didn't even make it better. And she was like, and he didn't even do a good job of like hiding it. And she like slid me both papers and she was like, read these. And I was like, oh yeah, you can definitely tell that he took my work and was honestly a little lazy about it. But it was horrifying. Like as someone who is like very much a perfectionist and cares about my grades and the respect of my teachers, to like almost be in trouble for that was not super
I'm trying to picture little teenage Carly almost in trouble. How mortified you must have been.
Oh, I was. I think I was like crying. Sure. And she was very kind and she was like, he told me it wasn't your fault, but I just wanted to get your side of the story. But I mean, it's a big deal and it impacted in a major way his grade in that class. And I think they were even gave more grace than they could have. And because he could have very easily failed and it was a dual credit class where you got college credit. And I think they let him barely pass. But I mean, they're very extreme. There can be some really big consequences for cheating, which is why it's important to talk about.
Absolutely.
So I did see a study that was conducted. These numbers are old, but it's kind of hard to find new things, Chris. But like from 2002 to 2015, so it was conducted with like 70,000 or something like that, high school students and college students. But it showed that 95% of students confessed to have cheating in some form.
Wow. Almost all of them.
Yeah. So that could be plagiarism, cheating. And then 64% of them confessed to cheating during tests, 58% admitted to committing plagiarism. And then a very interesting study is it's higher, cheating is higher among college-bound students.
Wow.
So I think, I don't know, in my mind, I think cheating is for kids who are struggling. But I think what you find is cheating is for kids who feel the pressure to do well. And if you're not doing well or you like have no intention of going on, then like, why would I even take the time to cheat?
Right, right.
And so some different forms of like cheating or academic dishonesty, obviously just like your basic cheating. So that could be using different materials, information, or devices that are not allowed. It could be communicating with other test takers. It could be using your phone to search for information on the internet, stuff like that. We'll talk about even like graphing calculators are a way that students cheat. And
I remember that trick.
Mm-hmm. Then plagiarism is when you use the work of other people, so their ideas, their words, their designs, without their consent. And obviously, the most common form of that is like copying text written by authors and pasting it into your paper without citing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not giving credit to them or if you're not citing it correctly, then that is plagiarism. And then finally, this one just makes me laugh because I don't think I personally would have thought of this, but it also makes sense, but just straight up fabrication. So that involves using data that just doesn't exist. So for example, if you're writing a research paper and you can't find research to back up your point, they will just like counterfeit information and like make up a study.
Well, it's like half the internet.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But instead of like going through the work and finding it, they'll just be like, I'll just make up this study, and they won't ever look it up and they'll never know.
Yeah.
And so that is another
Does happen a lot where people just throw stuff up there and like, you really try to poke at it. It doesn't exist.
Well, I was like, we do that a lot in just real life, not just in schoolwork. I think that's a normal occurrence.
People make stuff up.
Oh, totally.
Mm-hmm.
So why would students cheat? I think there are lots of different options. And like I said, I think sometimes we assume that it's because they're struggling, and that's not always the case. But a big reason is they aren't prepared. So maybe they didn't do the paper until the night before. They didn't study for the test. Something like that. They're not prepared. A fear of failure. Having anxiety about grades, especially if that pressure is coming from the school or parents or one of those like, I have to pass this class so I can play in the sport that I'm involved in. Stuff like that. Sometimes even cheating, like if you're the one who's helping people cheat, it could just be wanting to help classmates, or maybe even just a lack of boundaries of if someone asks you and you're scared to say no.
Yeah, just trying to make a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're overloaded with school and extracurriculars, like you just have too much going on. And so you're like, I can't get to all of it. And so I'll just cheat. And then honestly, a reason is it works.
Mm-hmm.
Like studies find that cheaters tend to get good grades and most don't get caught.
Wow.
And then
95%.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone would be in trouble if we all got caught. And then what is so interesting too is that some students don't even feel like it's wrong.
Hmm.
Like especially if it's a subject that they aren't interested in or if it's something they don't feel like they'll use in the future. I think I hear this argument a lot with like math or like calculus of like, I'm never going to use this. I'm not going to be a mathematician. So like, who cares if I cheat kind of attitude. That they don't even necessarily see something wrong with it.
Yeah, and I also think too, there's an element of is that you know my 12-year-old will make videos, he'll pull stuff off of YouTube, and I have to tell him like you can't post that if you want to make stuff and but you know that's other people's content that you're pulling off of, and I think that there's some ignorance with some of this as well too, because I know there's been times where. You know, we'll have to remind, that's not yours. You can't just pull that and say that or, you know, pull that into a paper or whatever. There's some education around that with there's so much available content now for students to pull from, to look at. Thoughts around, you know, intellectual property aren't the first thing. It's like, oh, that's really cool. I'm going to pull that in and make that kind of mine. I know I used to write on a blog where we pulled in a picture that we thought was just public domain, and we ended up getting flagged for it and had to pull it down. We had no idea. Like we thought that was, and that is a form of, I guess, cheating, but for plagiarism that we just, you know, I think sometimes it's innocent. And I think that's where this conversation is so important, where teenagers know, hey, you know, you can't just take something without permission, unless it explicitly says this is public domain and we can use it or whatever. You have to cite it. You have to give credit where credit is due.
I think you're so right. And I think like in the example that I gave at the beginning of like, obviously him stealing my paper is cheating. But I think even if I remember right, that teacher was like, you probably shouldn't have let him see your outline. And I was going, oh, I was just trying to be helpful. Like I didn't think of that as being cheating. And so like, you're right. I think sometimes students don't even like put that together of, that's probably cheating. I probably shouldn't do that.
Right. And the the consequences are so, so huge for stuff like this. This is why this is such an important topic.
Yeah. And I think even, before we move on, cheating is something that if it starts early, they're probably going to continue it, especially if they don't get caught. So if you have a middle schooler and they start cheating in small ways, that has potential to ramp up and even in college to pick up. But then also I feel like it's an issue that we see in the workplace too, of if people are stealing ideas and not citing them or making shortcuts. And then when you get caught and it's in your job, that has even different consequences than just failing a paper. It can be a real issue. And so it's something that is worth talking to students about now. Now, I do want to bring to light some specific ways that teenagers might be cheating now, because like I said, it might be different than if you're an adult than when you were in school, because they just have more technology, which good for them, I suppose. But unfortunately, it sometimes makes it easier for them to cheat. So obvious one is looking at their phone during a test, or just like if they're sitting there and they're like, hey, I just need to Google this real quick, they can easily do that under the desk. I mentioned graphing calculator. This was a thing when I was in high school, but those things are like basically little computers now, and you can put answers, you can put text in there, and it's not always easy to find, but they know how to go get it. So especially if it's math or something like that, they could have answers in that they shouldn't have. Sharing work or copying homework from other students. And so obviously if you're like working together, especially when you're not supposed to, or just like, hey, you do this assignment and give me the answers, I'll do the next one. I feel like that's a pretty common way that students cheat. This one was a big deal even when I was around, but passing on materials from previous classes. So for example, if you have old tests or old projects, I had a college class that like people just did that. They would pass on a Google Drive of here are all the old tests and all the answers, just study these and you'll be good. And so I know
which is kind of lazy on the teacher's part.
I mean, fair. But
they're all a little bit implicit there in that problem.
Like I said, it was college, but yeah. And I know teachers do things like A/B tests, or they'll change up the order, or they'll change up how things are. So if you're just trying to like be like A, B, C, C, like memorizing, that's not going to be helpful. But I definitely think kids are smart and they pass on stuff from previous classes. And then copying, pasting from the internet. I think we mentioned this in ChatGPT, and we'll get into some more AI stuff, but Chris brought up a good point that that is another way that teenagers are cheating now. Another resource of they can have these AI robots write papers for them. And then they're not actually doing the work. And then I also saw a lot of websites were saying that they'll write answers on their hand or their sheet of paper or even clothing and shoes. So maybe it's on the inside cuff of their jacket, or they'll write it on the sole of their shoe and then they'll cross their legs and look at the bottom of their shoe. Now, I did want to speak, especially some of this is for parents, but this one really is for our school people and for our teachers. But I have some ideas to help avoid the cheating problem, or maybe to help overcome it in schools. And the first one is to avoid academic overload when you can. And some schools I know put major tests and projects on a big calendar so that they can avoid having too many big things at once, or like grade levels. We'll talk about that. Because I do think that's when teenagers get overwhelmed, is if they have a major project and a major paper and a final exam all happening on the same day, they're kind of like, well, one of these has to go. And so if you can, try to avoid overloading too much or giving too much at one time. Talking about academic ethics, so even like setting expectations on the front end, I had teachers who would do that, who would say, hey, this is a homework assignment. If you want to get together with a couple people and work on it together, that's totally fine. And then we kind of knew what to expect. And then there were some who would be like, I want this only to be your work. And if you work with someone else, I'm going to consider it cheating. So even like setting expectations, what counts as cheating, what is acceptable, And like I said, some might not even realize it's an issue, especially if it's the culture of the school. Mm-hmm. So if they're like, well, this is what everyone does, so it might be fine, especially if it's maybe underclassmen, that could be an issue. I'm also going to post a link for talking points for parents to use to talk about cheating with their students at home. So I won't go into all of those, but I'll post that link. So if you're a parent listening and you're like, hey, I need to talk about cheating with my teenagers, that is a great article with some really good resources. If you can, take away the temptation. Mm-hmm. So have students put phones and calculators at the front of the room. If you have to use a graphing calculator for your test, there are ways to clear it and reset it. And I had teachers that used to make us do that. We would have to reset our calculator, go show it to her and prove that we had done it, and then we could start the test or the assignment. And so that's a way to do that. No bathroom breaks, because that's an easy one. If people hide or take their phones with them or stop by their locker and look at something. And then also let them know in advance if you're going to put their work through a plagiarism program. So I know there are programs like Turnitin is really popular that you can upload their papers and it will tell you if it's plagiarized, or it'll tell you if there are pieces that have been copied. But that could also be a resource for students. If a student is worried, like, I don't know if I did or not, like I didn't mean to plagiarize, have them put them through a program like that before they even turn it in, because it'll help them know if they did it right. Yeah. That's really helpful. Maybe take some pressure off if you can, if you're a teacher who wants to be the cool teacher. I had teachers who would let us bring in like one note card to a test to help. So you could write notes on that one note card, but that's all you were allowed. And so I feel like that lessens cheating, because you are giving some help. Give group assignments sometimes, maybe give some bonus questions or do a bonus activity in the test prep that they kind of know, okay, I have some buffer. I have maybe a confidence boost coming into this. And then wherever possible, this is for any adult, focus on learning and not on grades. Really, when students cheat, they're not learning. Mm-hmm. And the goal of school is to help them learn and to help them prepare for the future. And so if they're cheating, they're not doing that. And that's the important part, not their GPA or not what grade. But I feel like a lot of times we get this mixed up. As a teenager, I got that mixed up. I cared way more about the grade than if I was learning or if I walked away knowing that. And so that is something also to think about. But as always, have conversations with your students. And we hope that this is a helpful thing for you to take with you into your next discussion. For the trend this week, I wanted to talk about AI hoaxes. I know we've talked about ChatGPT in the past, but more and more we're seeing these hoaxes that are coming up on AI, or deepfakes is another word that you might have heard. And that's an image or recording that has been convincingly altered and manipulated to misrepresent someone doing or saying something that was not actually done or said.
Yeah, this is a topic that's caused a lot of anxiety for people, especially people in media and creative spaces, of like, hey, you know, there's going to come a time when we're not really sure what's real and what's not. You know, did a computer make this, or did a real artist make this? And so this is I've heard a lot of content produced on this just because there's just real anxiety about where is this going.
Definitely. And I think kind of to get into that, I think people are worried of like, what if this happens to me? What if I get taken advantage of because of this? So to give some examples, a real life example that was especially concerning when I read about it is a group of New York students, high school students, created a video of a nearby middle school principal making racist statements, shouting racial slurs, and threatening students.
I remember this.
And put it out. This happened earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually made a second video. I believe they put it on TikTok, if I'm remembering right. And then in a second video, they also had a member of the sheriff's office doing similar things. So racial slurs, threatening, talking about the KKK. And so really scary stuff, especially if you're a leader or someone that you're like, hey, I never said that. And now that's out there. I feel like that can be a very scary thing. Now, AI hoaxes in pop culture. I talked to Chris about this one. There were fake photos. There were these photos that were going around about the Pope in this white puffer coat.
Yeah, that I remember
really
that.
gained popularity, and then people realized that it was a hoax. I saw Donald Trump getting arrested photos around his trial was a big one. I know fake voices that someone put out a Joe Rogan podcast that he actually did not do, but like uploaded all of his podcasts and then had him fake record a podcast.
Wow.
And then fake songs as well. There was a Drake song that someone put out that sounded just like Drake, and it was not.
Now, there's a lot around fake music right now. Just like even resurrecting old bands, like what if Nirvana was still together? And they, I mean, there's a fake Nirvana song out.
Yes. And there's another podcast episode I listened to as well that they like were doing it in a joking way to each other, but like one of the hosts uploaded her co-host's voice and then had him do an ad for something he would obviously never do an ad for. That was just like funny of like something that he hates, but like he gave reasons for why he loved it. And it really sounded like him.
Crazy.
And so it really is crazy what these AI things can do. And they're more accessible than ever before. So you used to had to pay a lot of money or be really skilled to do it. And that's not necessarily the case anymore. And so, another example, like I heard recently a story, I don't know this mom, but someone else did, who got a fake phone call from what she thought was her kidnapped daughter asking for money. And it sounded like her daughter was her daughter's voice. And so it's scary when you answer the phone and it sounds just like a loved one. And those hoaxes have been around for a long time. My grandpa has gotten calls before that was supposedly from my little brother saying that he was in jail and needed money, but it wasn't his voice. And so now I feel like they're even taking it one step further. And if your student or teenager or loved one has their voice out there, people can use it to then make AI hoaxes. We got to be worried about that maybe, Chris, because our voice is out there a lot. The
Fake Teen Life podcast, yeah. talking about things we don't want to talk about.
Exactly, exactly. And so like you said, I think a lot of the biggest concern is how do we know it's real? And so stick around for the tip, because we're going to share a couple tips on how to detect a deep fake. But this is a conversation you should be having for sure with your students. Make sure that students are aware that this is happening. Make sure that they're aware that it's not okay, especially in like that example of the principal. It's not okay to take someone's likeness and make it seem like they said or did something that they didn't. And it's also to be extra vigilant before assuming something is real, especially when it comes to money. And if they aren't sure or you're not sure if it's real, hang up and try to call that person first before sending money, especially if it's digital money or Bitcoin, stuff like that. So AI, like I said, is a big deal right now. And it's something to have conversations about and something to be watching. I'm obviously never trying to scare people, but be aware. For the tip, let's talk about how to detect a deep fake, Chris.
Very valuable tool these days.
Yes. Yes, I think so. And I will say from the beginning, there are programs that you can upload these things to see if it's reliable. And most of them can tell you if it was created by AI. But the first thing is some details will probably look blurry or obscure. So in the Pope example, his glasses actually like merged with his eye, like if you look closely at it. And then he was like wearing a chain and one part of the chain, like it wasn't, you couldn't see one of the chains. And so obviously there was no way that like necklace was hanging on. Or the focus might be blurry in weird areas.
Yeah, there are very few deep fakes that are like perfect. Like like if you look hard enough, you should be able to figure it out.
The lighting looks unnatural. So this often happens because they're taking a photo, they're taking photos that don't match and merging them together. So maybe one part of the photo is darker than the other, or maybe it glows in a weird way. And so if the lighting doesn't look right, that might be the first clue that something is going on. If it's a video, the words or sounds sometimes don't match up with the visuals. So especially if they're trying to be lazy, they might manipulate the video, but not the audio as much or vice versa. So it's not always going to match up perfectly. And then finally, if you are reading something or seeing something and the source isn't reliable, maybe that is a red flag. If you feel like you're getting this news and it's not real, like if Drake didn't actually post that song, it's probably not his song. Mm-hmm. You can also reverse image search, like on Google. It's an easy way to do that, and you can tell where the image originated. But a lot of times too, like for the Pope, I just Googled, like, because I heard people talking about it, and I Googled Pope puffer coat, and a million different sources came up saying it was fake. And so you're like, oh, okay, that's not actually real. But check your sources, make sure that it's coming from a reputable site.
Yeah, and trust your intuition on things like this. I mean, a lot of times, I know I've had conversations with my kiddos, if they see something like, oh, did you see that? I'm like, is that real? And, and you know, just something that's so outlandish or so crazy that, like, you know, we do live in a crazy world, but there's a lot of times where, you know, you trust your gut on things like that and verify it before you assume that it's real. And with that's a wrap on this very real episode of the Teen Life Podcast.
Not AI at all.
No AI here. Not yet. We'll see. I'll probably be replaced by it eventually. But if you would subscribe, make sure that you are a subscriber to the Teen Life Podcast so this arrives in your podcast feed every Tuesday. Follow us on social media. Text this episode to a friend who might be a part of this conversation through AI or cheating. Review us on your favorite podcast app. Let people know how much you love this podcast. And we will see you next week.